Welcome to the Procreative Teaching Ministry of Reverend Charles Jibuno, the lead pastor of the Refiners Church. It is his vision to raise a generation of proof producers with an aim to reach the world with the power of God, one person at a time.
To be hasty. Presumptuousness is thinking that you know what God wants you to do. Many times we don't know or understand what God wants us to do. So God, for example, is telling you something today, amen, that he wants you to do in the future. At times what he's saying to you today might not be ready or might not be in the possibility of fulfillment, might not be possible until the next 10 or 20 years. Because God naturally speaks, amen, into the future today. He calls those things that be not as though they were. So God tells you about what he wants to do in your life in the future today to give you time to prepare for it. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. But when you don't understand this, you just want to jump out. Hello? Amen. Now, I was talking of Moses. So Moses was stirred in his heart that he was to deliver the children of Israel from what? The bondage of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And then Moses stepped out prematurely. He saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and he fought him, and in the process he killed him, right? And the next day he tried to make peace between two brethren, and they say, who made you Lord over us? Hello? Who made you Lord over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed this fellow? Praise the Lord. Media, if nobody's manning this camera, switch it off. Don't put a camera and make me stand. I don't stand in one place. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, look at what happened. So he killed the Egyptian. Pharaoh got to hear about it. And Moses fled, right? Let me show you how this works. Now, what did God say to the children of Israel? He said to them, quickly please, light should not be flashing while I preach. It's a distraction. God said to Abraham, your children will be slaves in a foreign land for how long? Who knows? Four generations, which amounted to how many years? 400 years. How many years did the children of Israel spend in Egypt? 430. The extra 30 years was Moses' fault. So God began to speak to Moses 10 years before the appointed time. But Moses stepped out. Hello? And acted presumptuously that he had to go and spend 40 years in the backside of Horeb and had to go through the school of animals. He had to learn patience because God knew he was going to handle the Israelites that were very stubborn. So he had to spend 40 years in training. Hello? So God does not play with training. We think that God is in a hurry. No, no, no. So the purpose was delayed for 30 years because a man jumped the gun. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So when you step out of God's timing, you step out of God's will. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So there is what? An appointed time and an appointed season for God's plan or purpose for your life. Now, between the time you are informed of that plan and the fulfillment of that plan, which is going to be determined by God, what are you to do? What are you to busy yourself with? Preparation. What did I say? Preparation. Amen. Because we are usually not ready for what God wants to do to us. Hello. And to be honest, I'm learning a lot from this series. Because it's now adding up. A lot of things are adding up in my life. Amen. Honestly, the things that God showed me the first time the Holy Spirit manifested Jesus to me, I'd been wondering how he gets there. Now I realize how he gets there. It's no longer when I will get there. It's what I need to do so that God can get me there. Amen. So we are usually not ready for what God has for us. You might think you are ready. Amen. I was talking with somebody the other day. I was saying, I'm feeling so frustrated, loaded with all of this. And I'm just wondering. And I say, no, it's God that knows when you are ready. He shall most times when you think you are ready, you are not ready. Moses thought he was ready. Was he ready? When God was now ready for Moses, what was Moses saying? I can't go again. I'm a stammerer. Send someone else. But you know what the Bible says? That Moses was mighty in word and deed. So when Moses first heard the call, he was what? A powerful orator. Amen. Let me show you something. Particularly for those who are called into ministry. Amen. Let me tell you the truth. Bible school will help you, but Bible school doesn't get ready for ministry. It will help you, but it's not enough for ministry. As a matter of fact, if you go to Bible school and you think you are ready for ministry, you are not. Philippians 2:13, quickly. I'm digressing. Let's go there quickly. Philippians 2:13. I hope I'm communicating. So Philippians 2:13. Am I getting scriptures tonight, or will somebody read for us? Can somebody read for us Philippians 2:13? 2:13. Yes, 1:3. For it is God who works. Yes. Amen. For it is God who works in you, both to what? Will and to do. Listen to me. God is not looking for what you will do for him. Did you hear me? God is not looking for what you will do for him. God is looking for what he can do through you. As long as you can do it, you don't need God. And that makes you unusable. So many times, we think we can. I know scripture. I pray a lot. But God is not looking for what you can do. You see, it is God who what? Both wills and does. So what God is looking for is vessel, container. Hello? one of the reasons we have mega ministries, but no power. Hello? Sinners are not brought to repentance because God is not doing anything. You know, when he talks about he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, he says, as if Christ were in us, reconciling men to God. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. So there is a preparation. Let me not overshoot. Amen. There is what? A preparation. So when you've received instruction, calling, revelation, God will require that you do what? Commit yourself to preparation. Now, it is this commitment to preparation that determines whether you will qualify for the actual manifestation. Hello? Hello? Every man that God uses, he must qualify. So if you will not be faithful to preparing yourself, it's going to be difficult or impossible for God to carry out his plan for your life. Am I communicating? You guys are looking at me strange. Amen. Amen. So preparation brings you to the place where you are properly suited for the purpose of God. Amen. Luke 12:47. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 47. Quickly, Luke 12:47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not what? Yes. So which comes first? So if a man has not prepared himself, can he do? So when God makes his will known, what does it require? That you prepare yourself to do his will. So it is one thing to know the will of God. It is another thing to be prepared to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's one thing to know how to sing and know that God wants to use in the music ministry. But it's another thing to be prepared for God to sing through you. It's one thing to now to preach. We have wonderful orators. There's this man that recently has been trending, I think after I went to Wolfbeck. Shabami asked a question. He said, where has this man been that we're just hearing about him? I said, the man has been there. From what we are learning, it is now that God wants him to come out. Oratory can bring a sinner to their knees. Hello? God is not looking for people that can talk very nice. You just be smiling. God is looking for the person who will open his mouth and sinners will melt. So, God requires that we prepare ourselves to do his will. Let's look at Passion Translation and then we'll look at Amplified. Then we'll look at an example in the Apostle Paul and we'll see how we can run with this. Praise the Lord. So, Luke 12:47, Passion Translation. Please, if you find it, read for us so we can save some time. Look. That mic is not on. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you hear that? So who is to make himself ready? Amplified, classic. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready. So tell the person next to you, get ready.
Get ready.
Amen. So preparation. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. We'll take it from verse 15 to 19. We want to look at the Apostle Paul. Praise the Lord. So, in our generation, we tend to think that once you have this feeling that God has called you, we should run out. But God does not change his methods. He has never. Amen. How many of you remember Jeremiah? Huh? In Jeremiah chapter 6, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And then after that is vision, God now said, whom shall I and who will go for us? Then Jeremiah said, here I am, send me. So excuse me, all the prophecies of Jeremiah from chapter 1 to 5, who sent him? That's why Jeremiah tells us later in Jeremiah 23, he said, I have not sent these people, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. He said, if they had stood in my counsel, they would have caused these people to hear my words, and they would have turned them from their evil ways. So Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, quickly. Amen. So this is Paul talking. He said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. So every man that has a call, the call was determined before he was born. He says, and called me through his grace. So let's hear what Paul did. To reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go about telling people I'm called. Hello? I didn't. So what did I do? Verse 17. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to what? I went into preparations. Hello? He didn't go to the apostles and say, I met Jesus, so I've been called. Amen. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Verse 18. We'll take it to verse 19. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remain with him 15 days. Mentorship. Okay? 19. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Praise the Lord. Now go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Galatians 2, verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Please, somebody read for me.
14 days. I went up
14
again. Days.
No, years.
Yes. Sorry, yes.
After
14 years,
I went up again
to Jerusalem with Barnabas.
And also took Titus with me. Verse 2.
And I went up
by revelation. Now hold on. You know, what is Paul doing here? He was validating his credentials. Hello? This is how I began to preach. This is the source of my revelation. I didn't just wake up one day and start preaching this stuff. After I met with Jesus and he told me what he wanted me to do, I didn't jump out immediately. What did he go and do in the regions of Arabia? He was studying. So Paul is now telling us it took him a total of maybe 14 or 17 years before he jumped on the scene. Now, look at how he came out. He didn't just jump out. Listen to what he said. Please give me that verse 2 again. He says, I went up by revelation, which means he didn't just wake up on his own. God revealed to him his time. I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. So I even took my revelation, my understanding, and presented it for those who had reputation. Those were the pillars of the church. So that I am not preaching rubbish. Hello? Amen. Are we together? So the race we have been called to run is similar, or is in some ways like a relay. Who knows what is characteristic of a relay race? There are stages of the race. You run to a point and you exchange the baton. Now, we are not exchanging the baton. The semblance of our race to a relay race is that there are phases, there are stages to our race. What it means is that we run to a certain point, and that phase of our race, our work or assignment or portion of our destiny finishes, and we enter into the next phase. Am I communicating? Now, in between phases, there's also a preparation. So you might be doing a particular thing and God begins to stir you up to begin to do certain things in preparation for your next level. So listen to this. What will determine the in-between time between the stages and phases of your race? Amen. Actually, you are the one who determines. And I'll tell you how. You know, moving from phase 1 to phase 2 of your assignment can be 1 year or 50 years. Now, what determines the time? Number one is your obedience to the instructions of God. Your continual obedience, daily obedience to what God is saying. Hello? Am I communicating? I use this to buttress. I remember I once went up to my father in the Lord. He said, I drove to Gansing because I'd been fasting, I'd been praying, and I was not seeing certain things. So I went to him, I said, Daddy, how do I increase anointing? I've done 40 days. I've done all kinds of lengthy fast. When someone come and tell you they fasted, they prayed, and they jumped up levels, it's not like that. I tried it. It was not working. Hello? So I went to those who had reputation. And I said, how do I grow up levels? You know what he told to me? You know what he told me? He said, be faithful where you are. Go and be faithful with what God has given you. When God counts you faithful, what will he do? He will increase the anointing. Hello? You don't enter phase 2 without being faithful in phase 1. Because to him who is faithful in little, he will be faithful in much. So if you're unfaithful with little, hello, you will never get much. You see, if you have not been faithful in that which belongs to another man, say, who will give you your own? So your obedience every step of the way, number one, your commitment to preparation in the word of God and prayer, number two, and the level to which you are yielded to the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So that's what determines the time duration of your in-between seasons. Praise the Lord. To be honest, going through this, preparing this, it now struck me why certain things have been coming to my heart. In short, God spoke to me in this period. There are certain things that have been coming to my heart to do. And I just found myself not being able to do it. Now I realize it was God saying, prepare for the next season. And I've told him, I'm sorry for not preparing well enough. Because next season I must enter. Amen. Shall the Holy Spirit told me that this thing I'm asking you to do should take priority over every other thing. I was letting my pastoral assignments get in the way. So he says, go and start studying this. And I'm, we still need to study administration, this one, that one. So your faithfulness to those things, am I communicating? Now I'm using my field, but it applies everywhere. Whatever God is asking you to do. And remember we said, this race has to do with your spiritual walk with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So each new phase of your life requires a specific preparation, and the length of time in between the seasons or the phases of your life is going to be determined by your obedience in every step of the way, faithfulness to prepare yourself in the Word of God, your submission to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It also will determine whether you or not you will enter into that phase. So if you don't meet these requirements, you will not enter your next phase. God will not promote you if you have not passed his exam. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So while you are in, we're talking about running with patience, right? That's what's brought us this far. So in between those seasons where you're preparing yourself, there are certain things you must not do. And one principal thing you must not do is look at another person's race. We tend to do that thing. So you're looking at Brother Lagbaja, how Brother Lagbaja is running. Hello. Your race is different from his own. Never look to another man's race, how he's running it, and his pace. Because it will have a tendency to knock you off your own race. Your pace is always going to be determined by God, and your path is always going to be determined by God. Am I communicating? Two persons can be called to be apostles, but the assignments are different. So the process God will take one through is different from the process he will take the other through. Hello. Two people could be called as music ministers. Amen. Even though that word, I don't like to use it, because it's actually not in the Bible. Hello. There is no such thing as music ministers. There is no such thing as music ministry. Hello. It is not scriptural. There's not stats. Let me not go there, because I will lose track. All these guys that call themselves music ministers, they are musicians. Let's be honest. You are looking at me. I've looked for trouble, Abby. I've looked for trouble. Okay, hold on. What are the scriptures that talks about the gifts of the Spirit or the ministry gifts? Who knows what those scriptures are? Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. Romans 12 from verse 6 down to about verse 12. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, principally from verse 7 to about verse 12 or 9. Now check through all of those things, you will never find music. Was the Holy Spirit wrong? Two things are not ministries that were made ministries. They are music and prayer. Uncheck your Bible. They are not. You know why? You want to know why? Huh? We are a kingdom of what? Priests. Every believer is what? A priest. What is the assignment of the priest? Worship and intercession. Every one of us is a prayer warrior and a worshiper. But not all of us are evangelists, pastors, teachers. So those two ministries are not standalone ministries. We just concocted them, we just brought them out. Because we have a generation of lazy believers. We stay with the Bible. Hello? So, those ministries are designed to function within the church, within a local assembly, not on the road. Let's stay with my text. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. Have you realized that most of these guys are sat in the choir? They have ended up on the pulpit. It's the same way someone else started with ushering on the pulpit. If music was their ministry, they won't be on the pulpit. If they were called to be music ministers, they won't be on the pulpit. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Quickly, 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 my time is up. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So let me try and run through this quickly. Praise the Lord. Now, there are certain things that make it easier for us to recognize God's will in our lives. Hello. And to follow it. One of the challenges a number of us have is being able to tell what exactly is the plan of God for our lives, right? Talk to me. Many times we really want to know what is God's will, what is God's plan. And not just having the overall plan, but also knowing the details of those plans. We started by saying that God has a detailed agenda for each and every one of our lives. So I'm saying that there are certain things that predispose you to knowing that plan and understanding the details of those plans. Praise the Lord. Number one is a renewed mind. Number one is a renewed mind. One of the reasons many people never get to understand the will of God and never walk in the plan of God for their lives is because their minds are unrenewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We can take it from verse 1 to 2. Amen. What is a renewed mind? Is allowing the word of God moderate your thoughts. The word of God determine how you think, how you reason, how you see things. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The New Living Translation says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Now, it goes on to say, this is the result of a renewed mind. He says, then you will learn to know God's will for you. Hello? So until the mind is renewed, you will never get to understand the will of God. Because you can't see things from God's perspective. So your mind has to be renewed. Your thought pattern has to be in line with God's word. Are we together? Your life has to be shaped according to the word, not according to the world. You are either walking in the word or conform to the world. If it's not the Bible dictating your life, you are conformed to the world. You can't collect some from the world and collect some from the word. No. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our traditions, our education, our culture, environmental pressure have all shaped and determined the way we think, the way we reason, the way we do things. Now, when you are a child of God, when you become a child of God, you must change all of that by allowing the word of God reshape your thinking. Are we together? The second thing that will make it easier for you to understand the will of God and to walk in the will of God is being full of the Holy Spirit. Remove those two, you are walking blind. Amen. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Before we look at the scripture concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit, give me Ephesians 4:23, quickly amplified, classic edition. Please give me 12 minutes or 30 minutes more because of that light thing. Let me bring it to somewhere where we can have a good conclusion. Say, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Amen. Now, Ephesians 5, which we just read, or which we read earlier, tells us we are not to be unwise, verse 17 and 18. Do not be unwise, but know what the will of God is. Know exactly what God wants you to do. Then the next thing he says, do not be drunk, amen, with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Then he goes to tell us about the evidences of being filled. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, they have their evidences. Amen. You know, I like to read scriptures. If I'm looking at a particular verse, I read as many verses as translations as possible. I wish all those people who are shouting that drinking is not a sin, I wish they read some translations. Passion Translation says, do not be drunk with wine, which is rebellion. This is rebellion. What is rebellion? Witchcraft. Amen. Now, the danger of drinking is that it will numb you to the impulses of the spirit. Hello? Show me a person who drinks. It doesn't matter how much alcohol, how little alcohol. Such a person is dead to the Holy Spirit. She says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit is, you know, helps you understand the will of God and helps you walk in the will of God as well as being the will of God for you. Am I communicating? Is that understood? It helps you understand the will of God. It helps you walk in the will and the plan of God for your life. But it's also the will of God for you. Because the Bible says you should know the will of God. And the very next thing it tells us is not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Please hear me. No man No man in the scriptures has ever done anything for God apart from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And hear me, it doesn't matter whether it's a natural or physical assignment or a spiritual one. So if, for example, you say God is calling me to be a financier in the kingdom to raise money, you know, praise the Lord. There are people who fall into that group. Amen. There's what we call the helps ministry, or there's what we call administrations. As a matter of fact, there are people, the Bible says, they are givers. Yes, Romans 12. It says, if your gift, if your calling is giving, then give it with cheerfulness. So even though God has called you to be a giver, which means he has given you grace to make money so that the work of God does not suffer, you still need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Am I talking? If your assignment in church is to sweep the church, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hello? Praise the Lord. No man has ever done anything for God apart from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Reason being that nothing can be done for God by the arm of the flesh. Listen, it's an insult to do anything for God by the arm of the flesh. How many of you remember Uzzah? Brother Uzzah. There were sons of Abinadab. The ark of the tabernacle was in their house for a couple of years. And when David decided, okay, let's move the ark, haven't seen that the house of Obed-Edom was blessed because of the ark, he moved the ark, but he committed a grave error. What was the grave error? He used the method the Philistines used to bring in the ark, not the prescribed method that God. You know that in many of our praise worship, we are using Philistine styles. We are borrowing dance step. Let me stay on course. Trying to usher in the presence of God by Philistine standards. So God was already angry, looking for who he will strike. Now the Bible says that they were carrying the ark, he stumbled against a stone. I think God put the stone there. And when he stumbled, Uzzah stretched forth his hand to steady the ark. The ark wanted to fall. And in our human opinion, Uzzah did a noble thing. Come on, think of it. How can the ark of the covenant of the Lord Most High fall to the floor like a common box? But God struck him dead. God struck him dead. Hello? God does not need our help. Oh, it's an insult to help God. It's a great affront on his person to help God. Why do I think so? Jerubbaal, Gideon, when he brought down the image of Baal in his father's house by the instruction of the angel of God, he said, who brought this down? Bring him out and we may kill him. And they said it was Gideon. That's how I got named Jerubbaal. And his father was the high priest of Baal. They said, bring him out, let us stone him. What did the father say? He said, don't kill him. Let Baal fight for himself. If Baal is a god, let him fight for himself. Hello. So to help God is to deny his deity. To help God is to say God cannot do a thing. So God didn't take it lightly. We seem to get away with it because the presence of God is not heavy like it used to be. Amen. So the work of God is never to be done in the arm of the flesh. God's purpose, God's plan for your life can never be carried out by muscle, by strength. By strength shall no man prevail. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. It is not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So if the Holy Spirit is not doing it, it's not worth doing. So you need to be full of the Spirit of God for every single assignment, whether secular or spiritual. As long as it is God asking you to do it, you need to be full. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at the scriptures, and I think I'll round up there. Hallelujah. Where art thou, O scripture, O scripture? Okay, so quickly, Exodus 31, verse 1 to 5. Have I communicated anything to you tonight? Huh? Okay. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have what? I have filled him with what? Yes, understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of what? Yes, to design what? You need anointing to be an artist. Artistic work, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze. Yes, in cutting jewels, for setting, in carving wood, and to walk in all manner of workmanship. Amen. So before he was permitted to build the tabernacle, he needed the Spirit of God. So God said, I have filled him. You know why we have some of the issues we are having in church? We're having problem with technical, having problem with media, having problem with ushers. Empty. We're trying to do the work of God in the strength of hand. You see, I know the generator works now. I know how to use a camera. But you have forgotten that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So you begin to have interference in sound. The equipment you set up suddenly begins to misbehave and you can't understand it. I started my ministry, that service in the house of God. I started from prayer, then I became usher, I became head usher. Some of the things we saw in ushering, at last when I look at our ushers, I wonder that how the Lord will help them. There was one particular account we experienced, we had in church. We're in service like this, and two people were sitting side by side. There was this heavy sister, and there was this light, slimmer sister. And we just noticed that slim sister was sweating profusely and was fidgeting inside the conditioned church. She was just restless. And the other lady was sleeping very well, soundly. So somebody was going to, you know, and God opened that usher's eyes. And he saw the fat sister, hello, sitting on the slim sister inside church. You just come from your house after swallowing a bar. Some people make sure they eat before coming. That's why they come little. She's on there strolling in after 8 when they should come at before 7. Because they must eat a bar before they come. They say, I don't want to fit. On that one, the usher was about to shake somebody. And the other person shouted, don't! Because he was carrying a demon on the shoulder that he would transfer. See, you can't serve God without the Spirit of God. I can, because that was my department. As a head usher, the day they'll be manifesting in church, I will know. I see it in my pastor's eyes. Something will just change in his eyes. I say, get ready. Church won't scatter. And then we have some people, even when heaven is falling, they'll be looking at you. Because you have to do it in the spirit. Let's move on. Hello. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, quickly. I will round up here. So whatever God has told you to do, you need to be full of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Yes, let's move on. Next verse. Verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve what? Serve what? They are sharing food inside church. Hello? Actually, these were the first ushers. Deacons are ushers. So it's not good that we leave the word of God and serve tables. Now let's look at what they said next. Verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you men of good reputation, what? Excuse me, to share rice in church. To share what? Rice in church. Say they need to be what? Because you don't do anything for God without the Spirit of God. Whether it's sweeping, whether it's arranging chairs, whether it's working on the generator. So whether the spiritual assignments or the ones that don't look that spiritual, whether it's out in the secular world, whether it's in the business space, in the marketplace, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:22-24. So I can't stop. Acts 11:22-24. And these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For what? Yes. Amen. So the spiritual assignment needs the fullness of the Spirit. The physical assignment needs what? The fullness of the Spirit. If God has called you to be his banker, you must be full of the Spirit. Are we together? Now, because we're going to pray very shortly. Now, so he says, be full of the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be full of the Spirit. Now, in the original text, that scripture is not speaking about a one-time fullness. As a matter of fact, give me the Passion Translation very quickly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Passion Translation very quickly, because I want us to pray, even if it's but a few minutes. And I want us to pray well. Bros, I have welcome already now. I'm already welcome. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Passion Translation. Somebody read for me. Time is of essence.
And don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion.
Yes.
Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, give me Amplified, AMP. I think I've read so many, I'm not sure which one I'm looking for now. AMP. Okay. So, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness. Corruption. Stupidity or denacity. Amen. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. I'm not sure right now the particular translation that talks about being filled. So we're talking about a position of constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that I received the Holy Spirit when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then does not mean I'm full today. I might have been filled then, but I'm not full today. You need to understand that. Praise the Lord. You sure some of us are empty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Okay. Go to Acts chapter 4. Let me show you what I'm saying. I'm trying to rush. Acts chapter 4, from verse 29. Give me from verse 29. Can I have a glass? Just give me my glass. Is there water in it? Bring it. Now. So let's assume this glass is full of water to the brim. If I keep going around with it, what is going to happen? Huh? It will spill over. If I leave it constant, it will evaporate. True or false? So that it was once filled does not mean it's constantly being filled, right? Okay. Thank you. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Quickly. 29, sorry. Somebody start reading for me. Let's save time.
Now, Lord, look on their traits.
So, what had happened is that the disciples, Peter and John, had raised the man at the gate called Beautiful. And the Sanhedrin called them together, threaten them. Amen. I can't remember. I think they beat them too and warned them never to speak in the name of Jesus. The Bible says when they went back to their company, they reported the things that happened to them and they started by thanking God. Amen. So we are looking at the contents of their thanksgiving and their prayer. So after they thank God, they began to say, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak or they may speak your word. Okay? Verse 30. And by stretching out your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were what? And they were what? Now remember, these are the same guys that were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. That cloven tongues of fire fell upon them. Now, two chapters down the line, they were filled again. If they remain full, will there be space for the Holy Spirit to fill them again? So if just a few days after their initial filling with the Holy Spirit, they still needed to be full again. Now, remember, they didn't ask to be filled though. But the Holy Spirit knew that they needed to be, because they needed to be constantly full. So if a few days after their original infilling, there was already space for them to be filled again. Not to think of you that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Rise to your feet. So many of us are running empty tanks. How did they get filled? They prayed. They did what? Are you guys with me? Did you get me at all? You are looking lost. They what? They prayed. How did they pray? Jelenke prayer. You know, Father, thou knowest as thou thinkest and thou understandest. Bible said the place they prayed was shaking. Who was shaking? Is it Holy Ghost? Was it Holy Ghost that was shaking it? Huh? It's the intensity of their prayer. Because it was after it was shaking that the Holy Spirit came. So for the next few minutes, I want you to cry out to God. Lord, fill my cup. Fill me up again. I don't want to run with empty tank. I have been struggling to understand your will because I have been empty. Fill me afresh. Can we pray in the name of Jesus? This is not a gentle prayer, please. They prayed till the place was shaking. They prayed till the place was vibrating. Lord, fill me afresh. Likatoso brakate lekos kariante. Imparos kate lekora bande gedos. Je preketo likata lebronto legedia. Rikatos kolikante je parus kate. Lebronto legedoso brenos kate likosu prekete. Rika paprenosate. Manta kalibrenos kante je paliga dagados. Lekotoso koribande. Ile kora bando go sombre gedos koliante shimpali kazi preketo liga dagados rabada gadagados operaketia rika babrono sekete lekos kariante je pranos kante imbaliko zuprekento liga dagados lekos karibande ze pronos kate liga dagados rebedegedegedia rebedegedegedia rabados kate lekos kariante. Lord, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Rabando suprenos kate, leketo sobrekete, rabando gosum bregedos, rabando gosum bregedos suprekente ligadai. If takoli karabande, if takoli karabande, labronto legedise paruska, rebedegedegedia, rebedegedegedia, shabalagadagade, ripatos kalika zipronos kante, imanto lekos kariante, jegeduske sibronto legedos, rabadagados operegedilia, imbaliko zuprenos kate, jiparus kante, if taliko zuprenos kate. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You're still going to pray. You're not praying. You're still warming up. Now, let me give you a sign or two to know when you are filled. Amen. He said, do not be drunk with wine, wherewith with excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody from your heart to one another, to God. Amen. What comes out of your mouth in the morning? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is that an excitement in your spirit? Is that an excitement in your spirit that songs well up without... I'm not talking of that you're singing the song somebody sang. Amen. One of the first ways you know whether you are full or empty is what comes out of your mouth. If words of regret, bitter words, discouragement comes out of your mouth, you are running on an empty tank. Number two, Romans chapter 12 verse 11, 10 and 11. Romans 12, 10 and 11. Please, if I can have it up quickly. Amen. Romans 12, 10 and 11. Please read for me. Okay. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now look at verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You can't be full of the spirit and they say pray. You are praying jelenke prayer. How many of you have tried to open coke that is hot? As soon as you touch the lid, it shoots out. When you are full of the spirit, the moment you open your mouth, it bursts out. It shoots out. That's why you're speaking in hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. If you struggle to pray, your tank is empty. If you struggle with the word, your tank is empty. If you're struggling to serve God, you are running on an empty tank. If the things of God no longer excite you, you're running on an empty tank. God said he will give us his Holy Spirit. He will take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. He'll give us a heart that wants to know God, a heart that wants to worship God, a heart that wants to serve God. Take a partner. I want you to pray for that person with all your heart. You know my rule, 20 friends don't pray together for 20 years. If they're not praying well enough for you, look for someone else. Father, fill my brother, fill my sister with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you were blessed. For inquiries, please reach us on our helpline, 090-4822-4137. We are located at SCC Road, adjacent Detims Plaza, Ushafa, Abuja.